हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay, page 97. Nalakuvara and Manigriva continued. Appearing in bodies like those of an ordinary fish, tortoise, and hog, you exhibit activities impossible for such creatures to perform. Extraordinary, incomparable, transcendental activities of unlimited power and strength. These bodies of yours, therefore, are not made of material elements, but are incarnations of your Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who have now appeared with full opulence for the benefit of all living entities within this material world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna says, yes, I am the Supreme Lord, but by what characteristics do you discern me as the Supreme? Their answer is given in this verse. Though having no material body, you can be known through the remarkable exploits in various forms like fish and turtle. You are the avatari, source of all avatars. Because you, with a small drop of your strength, as a sporting baby, uprooted trees as strong as Arjuna, which a thousand hands cannot uproot, and because you gave supernatural strength to the rope and the mortar also, you, the giver of all desires, have appeared for the fortune and liberation of all, with parts of your parts such as Shiva and Brahma. So is that he is the avatari, then he gives so many of his expansions and all that, then they come, they do so many wonderful things that can't be done by anybody else in that same form. Right? So the form of a fish, form of a turtle, they can't do what he's done. Right? And then they give the example here of the, as a baby, then he's pulling down the Arjuna trees. Generally, most of the Arjuna trees we see aren't that old. And so you just see a regular trunk coming down. But when they get old, they actually put out fins all around, like buttresses, that come out, you know, many, many feet. You know, so the older they get, the more bigger those fins get. So you can understand that's all the way around. So a tree that has buttresses on the bottom, how well is that going to be pulled over? So that's why he says, you know, even a thousand hands cannot uproot. Just because of the nature. Other trees, maybe, because they're just the trunk itself. But this is the trunk plus all these buttresses. So that he pulled down the Arjuna trees, this is extraordinary. Right? You know, Bhima would go along and knock down trees with his chest as he'd run. Right? But it doesn't mention that they knocked down Arjuna trees. It doesn't specifically mention that, you know. And that he also gave supernatural strength to the rope and mortar, because what rope, just regular rope, household rope and that, would be able to pull down these trees. And the mortar is just some wood. Right? You know, that's actually been cut and is hollow. Right? So it won't have that strength. So Krishna gave extraordinary strength to the rope and the mortar so that he could actually pull down the trees. So he's saying, so they're saying, this is the evidence that you are the Supreme Lord, because no one else could do that. Srila Prabhupada adds, unfortunate, less intelligent persons bereft of devotional service cannot understand the Lord's activities, and therefore such persons describe these activities as kalpana, kalpana mythology. or imagination, because they are rascals and the lowest of men, right? Because if they can't see, the problem is less intelligent persons. But what's the identity of these less intelligent persons?
Intelligent.
Yeah, they think they're intelligent, right? They think that they're so smart. So that's the point, because they identify that I'm smart. If I can't understand it, then what does that mean?
Nobody else can.
Huh?
Nobody else can.
Yeah, means it's not real. Because I'm so smart, I understand everything. So if I can't understand it, then it can't be real. It's got to be mythology. In a sense, that's how they're thinking. They're just thinking they're so smart, right? Mm-hmm. And especially the physicists and that, they're the ones that have the greatest disease in this capacity. But plenty of others also share in this. Just they're just unique in their. So therefore they are rascals, because they are rascals and the lowest of men. So they have the opportunity to understand, they're given the evidence, but they reject it. So that makes them the lowest, right? If you don't know, you're just a rascal. But if you know and you reject it, that makes you the lowest of men. Right? So the lowest of the rascals, right? Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhama. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Such men cannot understand that the events described by Vyasadeva in the Puranas and other Shastras are not fictitious or imaginary, but factual. Right? Mm-hmm. So you have Vishnu who's compiling the Vedas here. Mm-hmm. Right? So then him doing that, where will be the fault? Since the Vedas are his breathing. So it's not that he doesn't understand and he puts them together in the wrong way. Krishna in his... So they're not fictitious, imaginary, but they're factual. That's the point. It's just fact. Krishna, in his full unlimited potency, here shows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although the two trees were so large and sturdy that even many elephants could not move them, Krishna as a child exhibited such extraordinary strength that they fell down with a great sound. Right, so it's not that they're just slowly, like that. He just pulls them, just bang, they fall down. So then it'll make the most sound. Right? It's just like if you fall over, you'll make more sound, but if you slowly kind of crumple down, then there's no sound like that. So, yeah. From the very beginning, by killing Putana, Shakatasura and Trinavartasura, by causing the trees to fall and by showing the entire universe within his mouth, Krishna proved that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The lowest of men, mudas, because of sinful activities, cannot understand this. But devotees can accept it without a doubt. Thus the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. So by Krishna's grace, that's revealed, you can understand. That's the whole idea.
So Maharaj, it's only sin who are with a problem to see Krishna. Sin.
Sin, yes. Yes, means the sin is there, but it's not even just the sin. It's that lack of surrender. Because let's say the devotee takes up devotional service. He's still burdened in some way by the effect of that sin.
Yes.
He is able to understand because he's taken shelter of Krishna, so Krishna reveals. And by that, then all that sin goes away. Like that. So you can say, yes, it's by all that sin. But why do they have that sin? It's because of the lack of God consciousness. Because even we see those who are pious, right? Nice practicing Brahmins and everything like that. But if they're not devotees, they still can't understand. Right? Means they don't have a problem that, there's yakshas and rakshasas and people flying the air and somebody's huge and all that and somebody else is small and, Agastya's the size of a thumb and Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, then they grew up to the, heavenly planets. They don't have a problem with that. They just can't understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. So they think all these things, these are material. So anything the Lord does is material. But here he's talking specifically about the mudas and naradhamas, like this, that they can't understand. Right? Because they're just, they don't have there. That would be the sin, the lack of piety. But in any case, you can't understand. So in that way, you could say yes, it's all due to sin, because piety is devotional service, and impiety is material. So in that way, even though they may be materially very pious, they're considered impious according to the actual Vedic standard. You know, it's just like within a prison, there's those prisoners that follow the rules and those who don't. So then you'll say this one's a good prisoner, that one's a bad prisoner. But they're all prisoners, right? So the context of piety in the material world is in context of everybody being in prison. So those who are willing to follow the rules of the prison, they're called pious. Those who are not willing to follow the rules are called impious. But they're all prisoners. So only those who are in God consciousness, that's then, you know, free from prison. Right? So they're your standard citizens. Right? So the spiritual world, that's the standard citizenry. And then those who are criminals, they are sent to the prison house of the material world. So he puts a different twist on how we're looking at it. This is normal, and then that's above that. No, that's normal, and this is below that. So, yeah.
Maharaj, it speaks about the devotees can accept it without a doubt.
So, without a doubt, the devotees, yes.
Yeah. So it means over here that speaking about those devotees who have developed 100% shraddha in the Lord, because
those who have developed
100% shraddha.
100% shraddha.
Because when we do Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, at some places, you know, even the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, we feel that, you know, it is not for me or it may not work for me. So that doubt is still there, you know. In the,
okay, so for the sadhaka, there may be doubts. So then is this free from doubts, meaning 100%. But the thing is do you have an understanding or an appreciation of Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord? So then that's what it's talking about. You understand? That's aspect. If you want to take it into the other aspect, then yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that only those on the platform of prema, they're actually devotees. Everybody else is aspiring devotees. So if you want to interpret it that way, then you can also. Does that make sense? So here it does both. That someone who's taken up Krishna consciousness, they can appreciate and understand and therefore move forward. But at the same time, one shouldn't become proud, because until you get the prema, then technically you're not actually a devotee. You're an aspiring devotee. You know, like in training. You know, it's like someone goes to something, they train, then after training they qualify, then they become part of that. So, yeah. Nala Kuvara and Manigriva continue. O supremely auspicious, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme good, O most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudev. O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Parama Kalyana is significant because Krishna, in any of his incarnations, appears in order to protect the sadhus, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8. The sadhus, saintly persons or devotees, are always harassed by non-devotees, and Krishna appears in his incarnations to give them relief. This is his first concern. If we study the history of Krishna's life, we shall find that for most of his life, he predominantly engaged in killing demons one after another. Nala Kuvara and Manigriva continue. O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants, especially of Narad Muni. Now give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narad Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. Srila Prabhupada comments. Unless delivered or blessed by a devotee, one cannot realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatate siddhaye. According to this verse of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, There are so many siddhas, or yogis, who cannot understand Krishna. Instead, they misunderstand him. But if one takes shelter of a devotee descending from the parampara system of Narada, Swayambhur Narada Sambhu, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. One can then understand who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, many pseudo-incarnations are advertised simply for having exhibited some magical performances. But, except for persons who are servants of Narada and other servants of Krishna, no one can understand who is God and who is not. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nishtar Pareche Keva. No one is delivered from the material conception of life unless favored by a Vaishnava. Others can never understand, neither by speculation nor by other bodily or mental gymnastics. Yes.
How did Nalakuvara and Manigriva know that Krishna is the descendant of Yadu dynasty?
Means
as demigods.
Because remember, before he came and told them all, they're all supposed to take birth and do all this kind of stuff. So it seems to be it's more of a amongst them it's a standard. Because the whole like in the Mahabharata, that whole thing, that's a proxy war between the demigods and the demons. Like that. So, yeah. And also by the grace of Narada Muni, then they can understand. So that's the main point that's being brought out. Is that it's only by the grace of the Vaishnavas then you can understand. So the demigods by nature are devotees, but they were kind of less of devotees and more distracted. But now by Narada Muni's grace, now they've properly become situated as devotees.
So can we say that while they were trees, they were contemplating? So they were
yes.
Not dull.
No. They were conscious, because otherwise, what would be the purpose? I mean, regular karma that you're, walking around with no clothes when you shouldn't be, then you become a tree. That would be standard, but you don't really necessarily learn anything from that. Right? So then, but here Narada Muni, because his idea was they should become devotees, then he wanted that they are able to contemplate, so their consciousness was maintained. Like that. So we see immediately then they're just, they come out as demigods and this and that, not that they're there for a minute and, hey, what's going on? So that's the whole thing. Unless one's favored by devotees, you cannot understand the Supreme Lord. That's just the way it is. Right? So people may have a concept that there's a Supreme and there's something more. But how much they have, how much they follow in the instructions, how much faith they have, that's going to define how much they understand. Like you even see in world religions, that they have faith in God. And they have faith in His servants, but they don't actually understand the nature of God, how He's transcendental, He has a transcendental form, pastimes, activities, associates. They just don't understand all that. Right? So that's the point, is that they're not really seriously following the instructions of the Acharya, so these things aren't unable to be appreciated. Yes?
Also, the point that's often missed here is that it's not only without the grace of the devotees we're able to understand Krishna, but also through the grace of the devotees we're able to understand our position in relation. Sometimes
when they
get
that,
independently establish our position once we understand Krishna through the grace of the devotees.
Yes, yes. No, that point was, that was a major point. I'm not sure if it was in this past. No, it was in the previous pastime, where they were trying to point. Where the point was being made about Mother Jashoda, that everyone, the devotees follow her. She's the leading devotee. So yes. So does that make sense? So you're saying that by the grace of the devotees you can understand who the Supreme Lord is, but more importantly is that you can understand your position in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise we can come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful concepts. Someone else had something?
When they were being caused as trees by Narada Muni, and Now you are like this, and that they are very, very grateful that because of the mercy of Krishna face to face. So isn't that because of that particular cause they were like, they became really, really humble because of which they never regretted that this was such a harsh punishment unto them?
I'm not quite exactly sure what's the key point of the question.
Is it that they develop humility because of the curse?
Do they develop humility because of the curse? Yes, because that's what was pointed out before. Narad Muni explained that the rich man, if he's come to the point where he's proud of his wealth, then there's nothing you can do to correct that except remove his wealth. Mm-hmm. Right? Someone could be wealthy and still remain pious and have a humble attitude. But if you come by having that wealth, you come to that position of pride, then there's nothing you can do about it except remove the wealth. So by removing the wealth, then one becomes contemplative and one becomes more appreciative, so that humility comes up. So that was already explained by Narad Muni, that this is why he was using this method. Nalakuvara and Manigriva, because in the same time as you say, oh, but it's a harsh punishment, but what is just the modes of nature? What's the punishment for walking around naked when you shouldn't be? You become a tree. So it's not technically a harsh punishment, especially when they're going to be conscious while they're as a tree, and then they're going to see Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's actually, he's way nicer than the material energy itself. Right? Just the material energy would have given that to them after they left their body. Well, Narad Muni just arranged it now so they could get corrected and then come back to their position, now carry on as devotees. Right? So he's much nicer. Because we have to be very careful that any punishment, anything that doesn't go right, that's bad. But the whole point is we're in a place where everything's bad, and then we're trying to say it's bad if it's bad, but it's already bad. Does that make sense? Yeah. Nakula and Nalakuvara and Manigriva concluded, "Henceforth may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. May our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you." Footnote 35. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 38 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa Rasa Garima," which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. And so this mentality where the only one is to think of Krishna, always be absorbed in Krishna, see everything in relationship to Krishna, then that's that platform of Prema. So then by Narad Muni's grace and by Krishna's grace, now they've come to this platform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thinking on that previous point about the harshness, what the normal state of karma is, you become a tree, you're not conscious, so that's just basically time. There's no technically reformation, whereas here,
yes,
you're actually conscious, so you actually have reformation.
Yes.
It's even better, it's not actually harsh, it's actually,
yes,
more
like, yeah. The point is it's fitting. And nowadays, the more people are an illusion, more you increase the false ego, the more you increase madness. Because pramada, or madness, is also translated as pride. Because they're the same thing. If you're proud, you're crazy, actually. You know, nowadays it's seen as an ornament or a distinction that someone is proud. You know, they're good and they're proud. I mean, if they're not good and they're proud, people will say that's bad. So it's not the pride that they consider bad, it's that they haven't done anything to be proud of. Right? So this concept that pride's all right is that because they're mad, they're illusioned. Right? So then they think that anything that's not the way they want it, that it's actually possible to get everything perfectly the way they want it, which is not. It'll be perfectly the way Krishna wants it, but never just the way they want it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not the reality. It's like, let us say we're in some big rich man's house, and we're not recognizing it's the rich man's house. So we're using the house as we please. And in doing that, then we get all kinds of trouble. And we say, no, why should we get this trouble? Why am I being punished for acting in this way? So that's an illusion, because we forget being in the mature world means it's actually not properly situated for the soul. So it is wrong. So then anything done here that's not Krishna conscious is wrong. If it's religious, yes, it will give you nicer facilities. But the point is it's still wrong. Right? Because what's going to happen by getting nicer facilities? We become more and more proud until it gets, you know, overburdensome, and it'll go down the other way. Right? Because we think we're special, so we stop endeavoring according to the recommended piety. So then we stop those things that move us forward. We think it's ourselves that's special. No, the result, if someone's rich, it's because they perform the pious activities that will make them rich. They're thinking, no, I'm rich. No, you just perform the activities that make you rich. It's the activities that made you rich. Right? Shastra recommended it, you followed it, therefore you became rich. Not that you yourself are so special. No. Anybody does it, you become rich. If you don't do it, it doesn't matter who you are, you won't become rich. It's that simple. You know? It's like that. You know, you have a bucket of water, you pour it over your head, you get wet. You don't pour it over your head, you don't get wet. You know? And so pouring it over his head, then, rah, you know. You know, it's like this. It's that's a waste of time. So that's the whole thing, is that they have to be able to give that up. They have to be able to give that up. So, but unless one's a devotee, one can't give that up. One will do that again and again. So the person, you say, no, but there's rich people that are very nice and very kind and very Yeah, this life, what about next life? At some point, they'll become, you know, that guy that everyone talks about. Right? And then, at the end, then they'll go down. Yeah. So yes, we can see is that punishment's the normal thing of the material world. We have this idea is that, no, I can do whatever I want and miss out on the punishment. So that's illusion. So like you said, if you contemplate it nicely, then you can see as Narad Muni was actually taking it into extraordinary circumstances where everything was very nice. Yes?
So my Griva and Nala Pubara, are they considered a Griva case for that reason? Because they instantly just got
they would be Griva. But the point that's being made is that it's only by the mercy of Guru that the whole process works anyway. Whether it's Kripa, whether it's Sadhana, whether it's, what's the other one? Worshipping the deities, the term they used.
Archana
Siddhi. Like that, it's still only by the mercy of the spiritual master. Right? And so Krishna being pleased with that, then you get. But there are these cases where then just they decide and it happens. So as we saw with this, is that it's always explained that about one should not preach to the faithless, right? The ninth offense. Because if someone doesn't have that faith, doesn't have the capacity you explain, then they just have more things to make trouble with. So, for the neophytes and the madhyamas, this is the point. They don't have that potency to someone without faith to be able to convince them. But for the uttamas, they have special potency of the Lord. So even someone who's faithless, they can make into devotees. So we see that case here. You know, that Narad Muni, even though Nala Kuvara and Manigriva you could basically say they were faithless. One, their behavior is just downright bad. But they were worshippers of Lord Shiva, so they didn't. The concept of worshipping Vishnu wasn't actually very prominent. Not that they don't know that Vishnu's there, but because they're interested in material facilities, they would focus on Shiva rather than on Vishnu. Because Vishnu, you have all that devotion, takes time. Shiva, then you don't need devotion, and it's quicker. You know, so they just look at it from that point, is that, you know, hey, better. So such individuals who you would basically say don't have faith, or at least at that moment they were at that, you know, down at the Mandakini, then you wouldn't they would not be used an example as someone with faith and who then surrenders to the Lord. Right? So then this is an example of how the Uttamadhikari then can create that fortune where there isn't any. And then if that's the case, then it brings a lot more nuances to the point where Prabhupada said that, you know, by his, you know, how you say, causeless mercy, we became devotees. Well, we're all thinking we're so qualified, you know. I was searching for the absolute truth.
He said that, devotee said that's our credit. In the past life, something.
Yeah, something, this, that, all these things, it's all about us. But then if we take this into consideration, then it brings out the point that actually, possibly, no one was qualified, and it's only by Prabhupada's mercy.
Yes.
Right? And especially the earliest devotees. You know, I mean, the point is it goes as Lord Chaitanya's mission starts with the most fallen. So those totally unqualified, by Prabhupada's mercy, they became qualified. And then, because they're qualified now by their association, then others can become qualified. So that's the specialness of the Vaishnavas and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Because, right? I mean, here, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, I mean, they're bad, but how bad is it? You know, it's bad, but it's uncalled. But now, Jagai Mada, now that's bad. You know? Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you want to, you know, make a film out of it, right? Nalu Kuvar and Manigriva, it would probably be within your, you know, romantic comedy, that kind of thing, or maybe a little bit of drama like that, you know? Like that, romantic drama. But if it was Jagai and Madhai, that's just, you know, downright, you know, action, serious, you know, it's bad. And these guys are bad guys, you know. Does that make sense? So therefore, that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's that those who you know, are totally unqualified, then they get the... Does that work?
Narad Muni has a spectrum of disciples.
Yes. Yes, quite wide. Yeah, generally all the ones that are the most wild cases, they're all Narad Muni's disciples. And those who are the most wild cases that are not devotees, they're Lord Shiva's disciples. Yes.
It's interesting, however, if we think about it throughout Bhagavatam, as you mentioned, Narad Muni, he has several disciples. But then to Dhruva Maharaj, he gives the process. And then to Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, he gives Prem immediately. And then to regarding the hunter, he gives both, kind of. It's a combination of both.
Yeah, so it's just a matter towards the individual what will work. Because with Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, it's not that they were actually interested. While Dhruva was out to find the Lord, and so he showed him the process to find it. But it's by his grace he got it, because it was, what was it, 6 months, no?
6 months.
Yeah, so that's not bad. That's special.
That's what everybody expects.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know, when we joined it was 3 years. Everyone calculated, it must be 3 years at this pace, then we'll all be... Here to vote. Yeah. Still waiting, but yes, like that. And Magrari had to go through that understanding that his endeavors on the material platform were useless. Therefore, then he took it up. So, yeah. A little louder. Well, they don't exactly have eyes. Being conscious is just being conscious. Like, you know, when you lay down to go to sleep at night and you don't actually fall asleep. You're not moving, you're not doing anything, you're not contacting, but you're conscious.
So no ears, no eyes?
No, it didn't mention there are any ears on the side of this tree. Yeah, no, but because they're there in the dawn, of course they're going to get purified from that. Because all the living entities that are not human within the Dham, they can't perform any sinful activities, because they're just the modes of nature. According to their nature, they just do that. Right? So it's not a matter of choice, it's a matter of just that's what they do. So they, by residing in the Dham, they all get purified, so they come to that liberated platform. Right? So then you could also add that aspect too. That by living in the Dham, they become purified up to that point of liberation. And when Krishna comes and pulls down the trees, then from that point on the liberated platform, now taking the instructions of Narad Muni, they can appreciate what's been given and then see the Lord according to his actual position, you know, by the Lord's grace. But that's because they surrendered to the instructions of Narad Muni. Right? So it's not Krishna's mercy separate from that of Narad Muni. It was in pursuance of that. It said Krishna then, because he has nothing to do with Nalakuvar and Manigriva, but because Narad Muni did, and he said that they would meet Krishna, therefore that's why then he went and pulled down the trees. So you can say all that. Yeah. So that's the advantage of living in the Dham. Because now if you just do your service and that and stay out of trouble, then you're getting purified whether you understand it or not. Right? Does that make sense? Well, if you're walking down, how you say, 2nd Avenue, like that, you know, you're thinking you're Krishna, you're getting purified, and if you're not, you're not. you understand? That's going to be the difference. Yes.
So can we say that Srila Prabhupada has the same mood as Narada Muni?
Prabhupada the same mood as Narad Muni. Yeah, you'd have to say. Means any of the liberated personalities will have that, because they don't have any agenda for themselves. There isn't anything. So then all there is that service to the Lord. So having only that service to the Lord and being on this platform where everything, henceforth may all our words describe your pastimes, may our ears engage in oral reception of your glories, may our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you, may our minds always think of your lotus feet, may our heads offer obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms, may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. You see is that Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada, any of the Acharyas, that's their mood. Like this point here, may we offer obeisance to everything, because all things are also your different forms, right? So that's the Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Now, how many times was Prabhupada bringing that up in the early cantos or in Bhagavad Gita? Not so often. It would be brought up, but rare. But since we got to like ninth canto, it's like every few purports. So it's a symptom of this platform of realization. Yes. Because they see it's all Krishna, so you see everything positive in relationship to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Not that it's all Krishna, and so therefore I am everything. You know, not like the Mayavadis. That's foolish, because it's not real. Right? You know, due to illusion or pride, therefore they're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, they think that the soul, which is so small, can become God. That's like saying the drop of ocean becomes the ocean. No, it merges into the ocean, but it's still not the ocean. It's still a drop of water. Because the sun comes, shines down on the water, and then as an individual drop of water, then they're evaporated and end up in the clouds. You know? But the ocean remains. So that's...
As you said last year, that one person goes to Prabhupada, he's a drunkard, and Prabhupada says, if you think that the taste of wine is Krishna, Yes. While taking, then after some days, it becomes illegal.
Yeah. So then, I heard that there were two cases of that, one with Prabhupada and one with some other devotee, probably because Prabhupada mentioned another devotee also used the same thing. And I'm not sure what it is, but one of them, after 3 weeks, they became a devotee.
What did he say?
Ah, so how you say? You don't listen to mumble a rap. No, okay. So... So he was making the point of this, everything's Krishna, and seeing it in that way, then you can become Krishna conscious, that Prabhupada to that drunkard pointing out the taste he's looking for in the water. I think one of them was the taste in water and the other was the pure water within the wine can be offered to Krishna. So I'm not sure if they're two different things or both of two aspects of one thing. So then by that they become purified. So of the two cases that I heard of that this happening, one became a devotee that I know of. The other one, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Also, here we see they're making a sankalpa, so that they will be only thinking, speaking, and etc.
Yes.
And we see in Bhagavatam, it's quite often the devotees make this vow and they follow, while... we try to do that, it usually never happens, or rarely happens.
That's why it's called a prayer.
So they're praying, or they're sankalpa?
Well, they're saying may. So in that way, that's their determination, but it's only by the grace of the Lord. So then that's what you have to add into it. A prayer, then we understand it's by the grace of the Lord. But at the same time, as sankalpa is only by the grace of the Lord, that then we can perform those activities. So if we're convinced that this is what should be done, and we're dependent upon the Lord's mercy, then it can work out. But if we think that we're the one that's making it work, we're controlling the senses, we're controlling the horizontal, we're controlling the vertical, all that kind of thing, then we have the problem, because we don't. Srila Prabhupada comments, everything, the mind, the body, and all the sense organs should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is to be learned from expert devotees like Narada, Swayambhu, and Shambhu. This is the process. We cannot manufacture our own way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is not that everything one manufactures or concocts will lead to understanding God. Such a proposition, jato mat tato pat, is foolish. Krishna says, bhaktya ham ekaya grahya. Only by executing the activities of bhakti can one understand me. So then, by the grace of the spiritual master, under the instruction, then we can understand what is process. You know, following the footsteps of Narada, Swayambhu, and Shambhu. That they were pure devotees, they established things properly. So then, everything would work. Right? We can't make up our own process. No, we may like to, you know, take pure devotional service, appendage onto it, whatever, you know, we think, or whatever's popular in the modern thing, whatever's trending, this and that, and think that that's going to make it better. But we have to understand trending is only an economic or popular thing. It doesn't mean that it's actually viable. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, it would last. So what lasts? Tradition. Tradition's been there for a long time. But for those who are into trending, they generally ignore tradition. So they're not actually into success. They're just into what's going on now, because it's fun to talk about. And why is this trending thing so popular? Because very soon something else will be the trending thing. You know, a matter of hours, days, or, you know, if it's really big, maybe a few months. Then you have something new to talk about. Well, if you're talking about tradition, then it's already been talked about. Now it's a matter of application. well, if you're dealing with trending, you don't need to apply it. You only need to talk about it. Is that what I'm saying? That's the draw. That's the difference. So the Vedic system is therefore you understand what is the appropriate thing by the grace of the spiritual master, and then from that you apply into your life. Applying that, then everything works.
Is that just again the attachment to the gyan aspect? So just basically
attachment to the gyan? It can be attachment to the gyan. It's also going to be attachment to karma. You know, the feel good, feel nice, because different concepts, then they make you feel good, because if they're there, then you feel protected, because if it's something available to everybody, then you can also get, whether you're qualified or not, but there's the concept that I could, because if it's for everybody, I'm part of everybody, so therefore then it's available for me. Not that I appreciate or expect anybody else to get, but at least I should get. So if everybody should get and I'm getting, I'm satisfied. Now if I'm getting and no one else that I care about is getting, I don't care. You know, if someone I care about, it's only because they're connected to me. In other words, I care about myself. So therefore then you extend that sense gratification, they're also part of the everybody. But otherwise, if you say everybody should be nice to everybody, and then you're not nice to the group of people who you feel is not nice to everybody, that's not being nice to everybody. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like does that make sense? So you just don't see those manifestations. People speak badly, they're rough, they rebel, they do all these different things, and that's considered nice, right? The government is behaving badly, so then, then the people, they rise up, and then they behave badly with the government. But it's the same thing. Like, how many heads did Louis cut off? Right? Probably not many. How many heads did Robespierre cut off? Quite a few, right? Including his own, right? That's the thing, is it's not equal. You know, you don't see, that's why it's the process Gandhi used in that is considered unique. You know, so he used it. I think Martin Luther King was successful in using it. Of course, they both died in the process, and most people don't want to die in the process, so they tend to not use that technique. That makes sense. Yeah, so there has to be that compassion for everybody. That makes sense. Like, I think it's a famous picture. It's also in that same time period that I said, about 67, 68. It's only one. It was only used, I think, that once. Where you had, there was some kind of a riot, the whole hippie thing or something, and all the, probably, the National Guard would have come out. Anytime there's a riot, they call it the National Guard. And so they all came out, and they were there with their rifles, standing, you know, in a line to block the thing. And one girl came down with flowers and put flowers in everyone's gun. So you see all these guns there with flowers sticking out of them, right? You know, but you only see, there's only one picture. That didn't happen anymore. Because there, the thing is, no, everybody should be peaceful. So they also are included in everybody should be happy. Well, most of these things, they're always throwing bricks and this and that, so, you know, the people who are there trying to deal with the riot, they're not dealt with as if, you know, they also should be happy. You know, so that's the thing, is most people who talk about this universal thing are not actually very universal at all. And it's very rare, because we call that girl, we call her kind of naive and this, nice, but, you know, in the reality in the world to get something done and all that, to, you know, they did take a picture. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's not considered the real thing. So even though people talk about all this universal stuff, they absolutely don't believe in it. Because all it is that if everybody can get, I can get. And that's the only thing that's important. And they say, no, but I care about so many. Yeah, the people you care about, they're part of that. Everybody should get. The people you don't care about, you never give them anything. In fact, you don't want them to get anything. Is that make sense? So it's not a broad-minded thing. So therefore, only the devotees, they can see on the platform of the souls that all souls are servants of Krishna. While the conditioned soul tends to see, no, he's a servant of Krishna, but look what he's doing. That's nonsense. So therefore, they shouldn't get any benefit from this devotional service. Right? Because karma makes bhakti, right? Isn't that the philosophy? Right? So because of that misunderstanding, then they're not necessarily well-wishers, while the Vaishnavas are the well-wishers of everyone. So if you're only well-wishers of certain people, then we haven't come to that level of Vaishnav that's being recommended. Right? We're devotees, we're sadhakas, but it's still there's a bit more to go, a bit more to practice.
Can you say that this point is actually also underlying the power of association?
The power of association.
Yeah, because materialists live in the world of their own concoctions, basically. And in the process of devotional service is the only path and most natural path, but one manufactures something because, like, I'm so unique and outstanding, I can't use my determination and my intelligence to apply to see how my inconceivable uniqueness fits into the process of devotional service, so I'll do something else, right? So.
Yes, association. No, it means that's the whole. Yes, that's the whole point. Is that by associating with Narad Muni, then they came to this platform. Yes. So association is the essential point of all devotional service.
This is 39 to 43.
Right. Oh, okay. Verses 39 to 43, Lord Krishna gives the brothers benedictions. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the two young demigods thus offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, is the master of all and was certainly Gokuleshwara, the master of Gokula, he was bound to the wooden mortar by the ropes of the gopis, and therefore, smiling widely, he spoke to the sons of Kuvera the following words. Right. So he hasn't untied himself because he's been tied by the affection of the gopis, so how can he untie himself? Right? Srila Prabhupada comments. Krishna was smiling because he was thinking to himself, these two young demigods fell from the higher planetary system to this planet, and I have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of the gopis, and I'm subject to their chastisements. Right? So he's freed Nalakuvar and Manigriva from their chastisement. But in the process, he's still bound by his chastisement. Right? In other words, Krishna submits to being chastised and bound by the ropes of the gopis because of pure love and affection worthy of being praised by a devotee in so many ways. So that's the thing, is Krishna's bound by that devotion. That's the main thing. So we can see is that there isn't anything else that's so important as devotion to Krishna. Because that's what pleases Krishna. Nothing else is pleasing to Krishna. Anything used in the process of devotion becomes pleasing to Krishna. But if it's not used in devotion, it's not pleasing to Krishna, no matter how wonderful it is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the great saint Narad Muni is very merciful. By his curse, he showed the greatest favor to both of you, who were mad after the material opulence, and who had thus become blind. Although you fell from the higher planet Svargaloka and became trees, you were most favored by him. I knew all of these incidents from the very beginning. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is now confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the curse of a devotee is also to be regarded as mercy. As Krishna, God is all good. A Vaishnava is also all good. Whatever he does is good for everyone. This is explained in the following verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, when one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, One will no longer be subject to material bondage. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Sri Krishna said, since on seeing Narada you disrespected him, how is it possible that he could give mercy to you? This verse answers the question. From seeing those whose minds are not disturbed by respect or disrespect, who have offered their minds completely to me, one is released from bondage. So just by seeing them, even though they were disrespectful and all that, they still got the benefit by seeing them. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. People see devotees, whether they appreciate or not, they're still benefited. So this idea is that if they see devotees and they don't think positively of them because of their own material conditioning, right? Oh, we're Westerners and we, you know, can't relate to bed sheets and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So therefore, then they won't get any benefit. No, just by seeing them, they'll get benefit. It doesn't mean that they're not getting, you know, a problem for thinking badly. But the point is what we have to remember is the karmi thinks badly about everyone. Right? That has to be remembered. We have this idea the karmis think all the karmis are fabulous. No, they think they're all rat bags, except for who they like themselves. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's the whole thing. Is it doesn't matter what you're wearing, then most people will think it's not nice. Right? You're just wearing kind of street stuff, then somebody maybe on that platform of street may appreciate it, but anybody who's above street wear will not appreciate it. That's just the way it is. If someone's on the street wear, they won't like somebody that's not in street wear. Nobody likes what anybody else is wearing. For two reasons. It's different than their taste, and they, of course, want to look the best. And so, unless it's either what you're wearing is fabulous, or it's not. There's nothing in between. So this whole idea that the karmis have this wide range of this and that, it's not, it doesn't exist. And the point is if they can't acknowledge or accept cultural differences, how important is that opinion anyway? By seeing someone in bed sheets and they immediately have a bad opinion, how much character are we talking about? We're talking about very, very uncultured persons here. We're not talking about rich or educated. We're talking about uncultured. They can be rich or educated as they like, but if they can't accommodate other cultures, how broad-minded are they? Negative 12? You know what I'm saying? That's the reality. So this whole excuse that, oh, we're Westerners, they won't like this, we're just saying xenophobia is the standard. We're saying this is good. And so therefore, like that, then we become, how do you say, what is it called? Coconuts. Vaishnavs outside and, you know, karmis inside. You know, thinking that the Vaishnav stuff's not that. And then if we're really being honest and truthful, then we're, you know, non-Vaishnav outside and non-Vaishnav inside. And then now, see, now we fit in. We're normal. Yeah, so this is not actually culture or intellectual. It's like what Prabhupada said before. Mudas, lowest of men. Point is, at least my growing up as a karma, if you met someone who was culturally intolerant, they were considered low class. Didn't matter if they were rich, poor, what position they were in the society. They were considered low class. That was just the category. You know? If you couldn't accommodate, if you didn't weren't exposed to cultural things from other, because the whole point is when you go to culture, it's always from somewhere else. You know, especially if we're talking about, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave here. Opera, where does that come from? Right? Comes in Italy or Germany. Right? Food, where does that come from? If it's fancy, it comes from France. You know, understand? It comes from somewhere else. Right? So unless you're walking around wearing leather, you know, I mean everything leather, riding on a horse and eating, you know, either bison or deer, you know, cooked with cactus, then it's not local. It is foreign. So if you can't accommodate that, where's your culture? That's just the way it is. Right? Sandwiches. You don't get much more American than that. Where do they come from? Right? Earl of Sandwich. Some guy in England. You know, wanted a quick meal while he's playing pool and didn't want to stop. So it had to be something you could just eat with your hands. It wouldn't be messy. You don't want your pool cue to get messy, right? You know, so. Right? French fries. It's kind of obvious where they come from. Not from Louisiana. You understand? Burritos, tacos, also a bit obvious. You know? Does that make sense? So, yeah. So the whole point is that if we're culturally unable to accommodate, then we're not actually very cultured as a human being. Hard to actually call us human. You know, we fit into a particular animal category that is intolerant of other animals outside their own kind. And which is common. A lot of animals are like that. You know, very territorial. So, therefore, then just seeing Narad Muni, even though they didn't appreciate it, they still got benefit. That has to be understood. We're thinking that, no, it's the perfection of the activity that makes devotional service. No, it's the perfection of it's connected to Krishna. So in other words, the benefit they'll get or not get depends upon how much that devotee is connecting himself to Krishna. It's not what he's wearing, it's not what he's doing. It's how much he's connecting himself to Krishna. And to that degree, those who see that person, they get the benefit. That has to be understood. That's how Krishna consciousness works. All this modern mumbo jumbo and all this and that, it doesn't work for the mumbo, the only, it doesn't work. Yes?
Once in Ayendra Baba, he made a comment that devotees come out and, you know, preach Harinam Sankirtana. And people get agitated and they commit offense. So his answer to that is that the nature of offense is temporary.
Mm.
But the whatever benefit they get, that's eternal.
Mm. Very good answer. Yeah, very good answer. They're getting both, but yeah, one's eternal and one's temporary. Because the offense can be cleared. It's not. I guess when one is laboring under the concept of eternal damnation, then you have a problem. Because that's based on mundane morality, which is according to your own concept. Yeah, very good point. Yeah. Because, you know, how you say. In other words, there were more devotees made when it was worse. You know, they dressed worse, behaved worse, that more devotees were made. You know, this concept of that there's no bad publicity, you have to be actually successful to appreciate it. Those who are not successful, they'll say, no, bad publicity is bad. No, any publicity is good. Okay. Because then people are talking. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, if by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful, and one is freed from material bondage. It may be argued that whereas someone may receive a sadhu with great respect, someone else may not receive a sadhu with such respect. A sadhu, however, is always equipoised towards everyone. Because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Nonetheless, persons who are too much offensive, who commit Vaishnava aparadhas or offenses to a sadhu, will have to take some time before being rectified. This is also indicated herein, right? Because they weren't properly respectful, and so they became trees. Right? So here, for 100 years of the demigods, that's not a short amount of time. Right? So then that's then it's done. Then eternally they're devotees of Krishna. So Indra Baba's point.
Confirm.
Yes. Yeah. So here we have is that's the point, is that the benefit is greater than any reaction, because they're going to have that reaction anyway. They don't like devotees, they don't like anyone anyway. So what do you expect? You know, everyone has to be so wonderful and nice. They're not wonderful and nice anyway. Right? I mean, we have to remember the term dog-eat-dog, or a dog-eat-dog world, is that a Vaishnav saying? No, that's a Karmi saying. And which Karmis? Just the regular ones who are successful, go out there and get things done. That's their term. Yeah. I think our term is swan eat swan. At least I heard TKG say that once, yes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead concluded, "O Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, now you may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled, and now you will never fall from that platform." Footnote 36. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 42 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. And so, coming to this platform of always remembering Krishna, then one doesn't fall away. That's the point. By the grace of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, one doesn't fall away. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service and always engage in devotional activities. Understanding this, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva desire to attain that platform, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of their transcendental desire." Sugadev Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, having spoken to the demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him. After taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes." Yes.
It's interesting that here we have, by remembrance of Krishna, then not just spiritual activity goes well, but also material activity. So we see that, especially in the West, those who come from the East to the West, they've forgotten that. So then when they see their children taking up the spiritual process, they'll say, well, you know, that should be there when you're later in life. You should focus on material life.
Yes.
That by remembering Krishna, you'll actually be unsuccessful, but actually receive the actual positive. But because of forgetfulness of Krishna, then they actually lost even the material position.
Yes. Because everything, piety means what's connected to Krishna's instructions. The point is that if we see it not, it means even though it is Krishna's instruction, we don't see it connected to Krishna's as Krishna's instruction. It's just called piety. We see it as Krishna's instruction and follow it as Krishna's instruction with that faith, that's called bhakti. So that's the whole point, is that you have to be following the Lord's direction. And if you don't, then it's not going to be successful. You know, that's also what Narad Muni told Vyasadeva, is that people will see what they can do, they will and ignore the restrictions. So he was saying is if you put an emphasis on the process of how all of their material desires and activities can be connected to the Lord, they'll only take that part. But the part is what you have to do to make sure it is connected to the Lord. Those things they won't follow. So with the idea that by connecting it to the Lord, even though they don't know, they'll elevate themselves, the process will be very slow because they'll only take half the process. But if you make it obvious that devotional service means that you're doing everything favorable to Krishna, and then the material will follow that, but it's only the devotion to Krishna that makes it successful. Then that's the point. So devotional service, that's the real thing. These other things are side benefits. So we see as the cantos move up, those side benefits are shown how to apply them, but as it goes, it's shown that they're not actually the important thing. It's devotion is the important thing. It's always there, but it becomes more and more pronounced.
So. Why Nalakuvira and Manigriva, seeing Krishna with a rope like that, they did not ask anything?
I guess it's none of their business. It's his pastime, so he does what he likes. It's not that he being bound by the rope is something that if he didn't want it to happen, it couldn't happen. So. Right. He's a kid also, you know, so he's not standing there with, you know, they're used to dealing with Paramatma, you know, his four-handed form. So they just take it, it's his past and his business. You know.
Maybe they were just happy to be released.
That's awesome. They were just happy to be out of the tree and that they didn't even notice it. They didn't mention this is Vrindavan, this is this. They just were happy that now they could.
This is actually a very, very great detail of describing Sri Ramayana book, Damodara Jan, where it explains how Krishna's like Bhagavan feature, Bhagavan feature as a Krishna, the boy, and then becomes overwhelmed, and then he becomes like into the mode of God at the end when all Varamangi offer prayers, and then his internal potency covers it again, and it's a whole thing. How, you can discuss that in more
detail.
In relation with this Kripa of Lord, like here we see that Lord is unbiased. Whomever the devotee gives mercy, Lord directly gives the mercy. So it's like the devotee of the Lord is the one who chooses whom to give mercy or not.
Is that a question?
Yes. Like,
yes.
Because the difference between what we
means the Lord as Paramatma, when he sees that there is an opportunity that you could be interested in the association of devotees, at that point Krishna puts you in contact with them. So it says, by the grace of Krishna one gets Guru, but by the grace of Guru one gets Krishna. You understand? So getting Krishna is only by the grace of the devotee. But getting devotee, that's by the grace of Krishna.
Then what will be the difference between those who are pious and inclined and those who are not
pious and?
What inclined to, favorably inclined towards a sadhu, and those who are not inclined but getting?
The point is it's the mercy of the Vaishnava, no? It's the same thing. So, their material qualifications have zero to do with one's development of Krishna consciousness. It's a matter of the surrender. You can say somebody has some nice qualifications. Yes, if they did engage those in the Lord's service, then they would be in an advantageous position that they could do so many nice things within the movement. But the point is unless they're engaged in the Lord's service, with that devotional mood, then how is it special? Why will anybody care?
So, anybody who is favorably receiving, he can grow upon what is given by a sadhu. Because the sadhu, he's receiving so he can get more association, that is the only benefit. Because anybody who is not favorably inclined.
Yeah, but they will get benefit, but as Prabhupada said, it's slower.
Yeah.
It may take some time before being rectified. So therefore they may come in contact with the devotees and not take it seriously, and so it takes years later. Then they may come in contact again or reminded and then think a little more. So it's just when that ajñāta sukriti builds up, then it starts to... So as they take advantage of it, then the benefit is accrued. You understand? But it has nothing to do with the material qualifications of the individual. It's simply that if the devotees show mercy, then things go nicely. But it's still, the person has to take advantage of it. So we see Nalakuvar and Manigriva did. Therefore, they got the benefit. But if they don't take advantage, then it keeps it, you know, will have to take some time more. Okay. You understand? So it's a combination. You have to apply yourself.
In relation with the real thing also, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was about to take sannyas, he says to, I think, Vishnu Priya Devi, the Supreme Lord, the Holy Man, and the Vaishnava, this is the only real thing, there is nothing else in it.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. That's it. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Jai.